The products of the phenomenal world can actually affect things that is visible and experienced. As such, even though material activities are impermanent, they cannot be said to be untrue. Okay. This is a discussion on the impersonal Mayavad philosophy and the practical philosophy of Vaishnavas. The Mayavad philosophy explains the phenomenal world to be false, but Vaishnava philosophers do not agree. They know that the phenomenal world is a temporary manifestation, but it is not false. A dream that we see at night is certainly false, but the horrible dream certainly affects the person seeing it. The soul's fatigue is not factual, but as long as one is immersed in the illusory bodily conception, one is affected by such false dreams. When dreaming, it is not possible to avoid the actual facts. And the conditioned soul is forced to suffer due to his dream. A water pot is made of earth and is temporal. Actually, there is no water pot. There is simply earth. However, as long as the water pot can contain water, it can use it in that way. It cannot be said to be absolutely false.
That everyone is my Amsa.
but it's very difficult. And if you practice in spiritual life, in devotional service, we try to incorporate this equality, equal being. This is a classic example here. The king, who is looking very nice, very upright, man of passion, king represents man of passion. Mahaprabhu doesn't want to meet the king, because anything to do with wealth or woman is passionate, is extremely to people. But if you see Dharapada, his apparently looks like dull, dumb, he is not, you know, clean. So then, how do you understand the personality when they start speaking? This is how you see Vaishnava. You see Vaishnavas not by eyes. You see great devotees by through the ears. Even in Sanita of instruction to Goswami says that one should not see a Vaishnava mere the body or Jani Bhuti or previous samskara. As considered the spiritual master as the ordinary person, he is just a normal human. Even Krishna says, Avadananti Mahamura, Manasuddhana Mashita. If I come as a human, people think that I am just a mere human. Even though he is human, but he performs superhuman activities. And Krishna says, I appear as Atma Maya with my internal energy. So here, when Raghunandan was speaking, he was giving all foul and filthy words, which was least bothered by Jayapada. But when Jayapada speak, the moment he spoke, Raghunandan got him up and paid full prostrated obeisances. You can see that. Here, this fatigue thing comes again and again in this episode. Answer to this question and inquiry of Raghunandan is answered in the 12th chapter of this canto. The lower chapter is involved in the conversation of Jayapada and Raghunandan. So when Jayapada was carrying the palanquin, and all others were complaining about the unsteady. So Prabhupada writes actually in Manavaparpati that the unsteady is due to Jayapada. He is watching the steps. He watched 3 steps ahead. If any humanity is there, any ants are there or something. If it's there, then he has to pause, then he has to go. So what happened? Prabhupada was saying, a devotee, number one, would never fail to do his devotional service under the most distressed condition of life. The Jayapada is carrying the palanquin, you know, and that's causing fatigue and distressed condition. But still in that condition, he never failed to be acting as a devotee. We also go through a lot of burden. We carry burden in our life, isn't it? So much commitment, so much responsibility. Running the show is not easy in the material world. And we carry burden. So we also carry the talent in our life, but we should not fail to carry out our devotional aspect or act as a devotee during the distress. So when he was carrying, everyone was complaining. Raghunandan was saying, what's wrong with you guys? Why are you not carrying properly? The other men members were carrying They told we are perfectly doing okay. Only this person who has come new, he is not doing his job correct. So then Raghuguna was saying to Jarabhad, very sarcastic, he uses sarcasm. He says, oh yeah, you have carried for a long time, you have carried for long distance, and you have carried alone, so you must be fatigued. And I knew these people are not cooperating with you, that's why you are coming with difficulty. And you are old, you are skinny, you are not strong, I understand. So this is basically the opposite. Sarcasm is the irony, using the word, but meaning is different. It's like we sarcasm, we tell, we use, but the other person actually doesn't get the point. But we relish internally the feeling of being fooling that person. This is sarcasm. And Raghuguna is very good at it, and you are saying that. Sarcastically pinpointing how bad he was. Now, the ultimate sarcasm is what Jarabhad is giving to Raghuguna. Like suppose if you go to a person, devotee, practicing or something, you know, you say, Prabhu, you know, the person suffering, you know, with him all day service, or all day chanting or something. And you go to the Prabhu, your chanting is not that good, you know. Or your service is, I don't see you doing any service. So you are sarcastically telling to the devotee. And the other devotee, he is saying, Prabhu, you are right actually. My chanting is not good. Thank you for pointing me out. I will improve, I will chant more. And you are right, Prabhu, I am not doing service at all. I will take up some service. So that is actually a counter to that person who is getting sarcasm. He will get bored, my God. So that's what happening here. When Raghuguna pointed out the sarcastically about the inefficiency of the Jarabhad, Jarabhad was thinking, oh, this person is correct. Yes, I am not skinny, I am not fat. How can I get fatigued? And how can I, you know, do this? Because I have nothing to do with my body. He is talking about the load I am carrying. And this is another interesting thing. He is Raghuguna saying, you are carrying the talent when you are fatigued. Maharaj, Jarabhad actually, he is on a different level. So when he is talking about the load, he is saying, which load you are talking about? First basic thing is that I am carrying you in the palm point. That is one kind of load. Okay? Then he is saying, actually I am carrying this load of my body because I am a spirit soul. For a self-religious person, he is Jivan Mukta, he is self-realized, he has nothing to do with the body. We say this is my body. So this body itself is a load which we are carrying and which are getting fatigued over there. So he is saying, for example, for the jnanis are very transcendent in this. They are in that platform. They are not this body, I am a spirit soul. So this is a second level of load. But Maharaj Jarabhad is just not a transcendent. Or he's just not a self-realized soul, but he is a pure devotee. He is completely a Paramahamsa. So he is saying, I am carrying the load, that is, I am carrying the Lord within my heart. That's the ultimate load. So which load you are talking? Are you talking about the carrying yourself? Or I am carrying this body as my load? Or I am carrying the Supreme Personality in my heart, that's the ultimate sweet burden of a devotee. Because the devotee is always carrying the Lord within his heart. So for that kind of person, he is talking about how you getting pain, you getting fatigue, and he is giving sarcasm and he is importing the body. Now you should understand what Jadabharat has gone through. Jadabharat was someone who was trying to kill him. Right? Someone was trying to kill him. His family members were trying to ridicule him, put him as a scarecrow in the field. Least bother about his whatever interest or anything. They gave him oil cake. Very big, you know, passionate people, fruity mentality. They are all fruity mentality. And then he got into the hands of the dacoits, devotees of Kali. They were trying to kill him. For a person who is least bothered if someone is going to kill him, do you think his words of sarcasm can affect him? He is like a, for an elephant, he is like a jasmine flower thrown at him. He is like, what is this mosquito? Raghuna is talking and giving sarcasm and telling and pinpointing. He is a person who has come from the hands of death. Someone was trying to kill him, he didn't even oppose that. Oh, you want to kill? Okay, kill. You want to put me a scarecrow? I'll put you in the field. You want to do this? You want to pass you in the hand? Go for it. He doesn't even bother about anything. And he is giving some words, Gali. Gali. We give some word. These are all nothing for him. But then one day question, why did he reply? Why did he start speaking? Before the incident of this, there was so much of, you know, life-threatening situations that Jadabharat had gone through, but he has not even opened his mouth. But then he is speaking to Raghuna, giving back the philosophy, the tattva or the enlightenment. Why is that? So, if you see, there is a qualification of the speaker and there is a qualification of the listener. We say, one should not preach the glories of the holy name to a faithless. One should not give to a person who is not ready. Even Bhagavad Gita, starting in the introduction. Why did Arjuna was chosen to speak Bhagavad Gita? The Prabhupada gives. And also, Krishna says in 4th chapter that you are my friend and devotee. So Prabhupada said that. So Arjuna was a friend and devotee. So that is the qualification for someone who is ready to listen to Bhagavad Gita. A friend is a well-wisher who is not envious, and a devotee who is submissive and ready to listen. So inquisitive, submissive hearing, submissive inquiry, humble servant. That way, the self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto the conditioned soul. So here if you see, the members of the family are in Rajagun and the dacoits are deep Tamagun. Even if you have retaliated or if you have told anything, they are not ready. But that's not the condition for Maharaj Raghuvana. Maharaj Raghuvana, even though he is acting as passionate because of the position, because of the influence of the king, but he is a larger rishi, Prabhupada writes. And he has certain amount of knowledge. How do you know? Because you can know from who. As soon as Jadabharat also is a great devotee. A great devotee can scan you through. Who you are, who actually where you are, which position you are in spiritual life. So because how they can actually help the conditioned soul. They are the close associates of the Supreme Lord. They are the representative of the Supreme Lord. They are non-different from the Supreme Lord. Yasya prasada bhagavad prasada yasya prasada nagati udopi chakshadaritrena samasya shastre. You can see the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master is non-different. One should not take it as an apasampradaya. Apasampradaya karta bhaja, there is one apasampradaya. In that apasampradaya, they consider Guru as Krishna. We are not into that. But how come the Guru and the Supreme Lord is one? So this explanation is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Kaviraj Goswami writing, that the Guru and the Supreme Lord is one because their purpose is one. What is their purpose? Their purpose is to somehow or other liberate the conditioned soul, or somehow or other save the conditioned soul. That is their purpose. So, because their purpose is one, they are one. So, the spiritual master is also trying to give knowledge. Om Ajnana Jindandasya Jnana Jana Shalakya Sakshurunitamina Tasmai Sri Guru Vinamaha. He is giving the light of knowledge, dark side of knowledge, so that your ignorance, your darkness of ignorance is removed. And the same, that is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is also enlightening Arjuna. He is removing that ignorance and he is giving that knowledge. So the purpose is one. They both are equal and the purpose is one. That's why they both are one. So because they are closely associated with the Supreme Lord, they can see everything. And they are totally transcendental, not bound by the three modes. They can see from the elevated platform where the conditioned souls are, and to that level they can help and lift them, uplift them, and enlighten them. So then Jaramada can see this person is ready and he is giving the. Because Sarvagunas having some knowledge, that is a symptom of goodness. Those who are in sattva, their symptom is knowledge and happiness. And he knew, he can say, he's saying, what mistake I have done. He has come down from the balance point and paying obeisances. And he's saying, how can I perfect if I insult you? For example, imagine if the crowded temple and a person is there at the back and want to see Krishna. Suppose he started stomping all the devotees, pushing all the devotees and coming in front of Krishna. How that will be? That person will feel bad. If he is a devotee, he will not like that. Here we can see, Raghuvana is going to Kapila Ashram. Kapila, the expansion of Krishna. He is on the way to see the Lord. And now, he understood this is a great devotee. How can you please the Lord when you are offended a devotee and gone to see him? The Lord will not be pleased. So he is saying, how can I, this is the gravest of offense I have committed. And he is saying, you are none other than the Kapila Dev. You are the Supreme Lord. Because his journey is to see the Lord. Now he has appeared. Jarabharat is appeared on his own will. There is no as such, they just found him. He has appeared and he has understood you are the same Supreme Lord. I am seeing you. You have appeared. How can I make this offense? And one can see from the other perspective also, from Raghuvana perspective, that you can see from the third canto, even in the passing of Thurumar, in Prabhupada writes, when a person is sincere in his devotional service, then the Supreme Lord sends a Guru. When a person is sincere in his devotional service, then the Supreme Lord arranges a situation where the Guru is sent to him. So we can see from this episode that it's the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, the Kapila Dev, that Jarabharat has come.
is that Jadapada was just there, they got him. It's not by chance. So that it's not that we can directly go to the Supreme God without the sanction of Guru.
Even in the pastime of Arjuna Das Goswami, he wanted to meet God Chaitanya directly. Then he got the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. Then he can be able to see the Supreme Lord. So here the arrangement of the Lord that Arjuna met his Guru, that is Jadapada. Then he got the right knowledge, he got the right understanding. Then he can go and see the Supreme Lord. This is the arrangement of the Lord. So when he was speaking, he understood this is a great personality. I've committed a great mistake. Then he paid obeisances. So here, fatigue. He is saying, okay, this person, what he is saying, as he said, you know, he was saying about the sarcasm, and then Maharaj Jadapada was giving, it was a little bit too much for him. He understood, okay, this person is not speaking. As soon as he starts speaking, he understood he is a great personality. So here, he is asking a question, he is talking about, yes, the soul is doing, the body is carrying out certain activities. And in that, the soul is affected. But we see that phenomena is saying that this world, this manifestation, material manifestation is false. Why? Because you see, the material manifestation or whatever we see, it's not going to be there in one point in time. Whatever matter goes through six changes. Remember? Birth, growth, stay for some time, produce some byproduct, then dwindle, then finish or vanish. The matter means there will be some transformation. And the ultimate destroyer is time. In the purview of time, the matter will go through the changes and it is finished. So that means it is false. So anything which is matter, it is false. This is the understanding here presented. But Vaishnava, we understand, it is not false, but it is temporary and cyclic. That if you see a building, before that building there was some material, matter was there, which is a primary element of creation. And then you see the building, and then after some time it becomes the primary ingredients. Same with our body. Our body is made out of gross elements and subtle elements, which is primary, which is the inferior energy of the Lord, and then after some time it is finished, then again the new body. So what happens? There is creation, maintenance, destruction. Creation, maintenance, destruction. So because it is cyclically happening, it is there, it is temporary. So that is one of the reasons, if you see, the subject matter of Bhagavad Gita, it talks about Ishvara, Jiva, Prakriti, Kala and Karma. But only the Karma is not eternal. But all the four factors are eternal. One may say, how come Prakriti is eternal? How the material manifestation is eternal? Same principle. It is eternal because it is continuously happening. It is continuously going through the cycle and it is temporary. We say, Prabhupada also says that one may mistake the rope for a snake. Yes, that is illusion, that which is not. Or one may see a mirage of water when we are traveling. Yes, that is false. But the fact is, there is also existence of snake, there is also existence of rope, and there is also existence of water. Isn't it? So the substance is there. The shadow is illusion. But the substance is there. Without the substance, there is no shadow. This is another tattva in Srimad Bhagavatam starting also. In Chaitanya Charitamrita they explain
about the absolute truth and the relative truth. One may confuse with the relative truth, but the existence of relative truth is not independent of the absolute truth. That means he gives the example of the sun and the reflection or the shadow or the darkness. Darkness cannot be independent of the light. Therefore, the moment darkness exists because there is some light. There is no light, there is no darkness. But one may confuse that seeing the reflection of the sun in the water and you can see the shape or the light. One may say, oh, there is a sun there. No, actually not, because that is a reflection of the original substance that is the Supreme. Similarly, the absolute understanding is we are the spirit soul, but the relative concept is the body. So there is no existence of the body if we don't understand that there is no soul. How can the body exist? Body is always there. Body cannot animate, body cannot move. Without the presence of the soul, there is no question of body. So similarly here we can see the soul is there. Prabhupada here explains the hint of the gist of the answer. The soul sadly is not captured. But as long as one is immersed in the illusory bodily conception, one is affected by such false dreams. A dream may be false, but one person going through that dream and getting affected, sometimes we wake up in the middle of the night because of the hard dream. And sometimes we sweating, sometimes we got up because of some bad, or sometimes we remember some good dreams, next day, oh, that happened so nice. So, then one is affected by that. That is captured, that progress. So that's temporary, it's not false, it is temporary. But that identification with the body will make the soul to suffer or go through. This is the role of the false ego. The more we identify with the object, with the matter, with the things, or with someone, or with some object. Anything happens to that, then we get affected. So the identification is, we have to identify that we are a spirit soul, servant of Krishna. Jeevira Sosvabhai Krishnera Nitya Das. Ekave Ishwara Krishna Ara Sarvabhritya. This is our fixed position. We should be grounded on this, that I am a spirit soul and my identification is I am a servant of Krishna. So this should be reminded, grounded, nailed down in our consciousness. We come back to this basic again and again. Anything problem, come back to this. I want to do this. I want to carry the duty. I want a commitment. I have a responsibility. I have to do this. Don't worry. Remove everything. You are a servant of Krishna. Do that first. Don't worry about the other things. This is your first and foremost duty as a spirit soul. We have to understand this. So, when dreaming, it is not possible to avoid the actual fact and the conditioned soul is forced to suffer due to this. So here we give the example of the water pot. Yes, the water pot is made out of earth and then it begins again. But then there is a usage. We use temporarily the use of the water pot to carry the water. Similarly, this body is manifested or created and then it's going to finish at any time. This body is made up of this five element and the grass and subtle water, all the inferior element, energy. It is going through, and then after something it is going to go again back to this Mahatattva, back to the Pradhan water. But what are we going to do with that? The water pot at least used for carrying the water. Are we using this body to enlighten ourselves and go closer to Krishna? Or are we using the body so that we don't get another body? Then it is temporary, at the same time it is useful. Otherwise, we just say it is temporary, but it is not doing anything. The Mayavad philosophers are like that. They are very proud also. They are very proud. They want to say that everything is false, everything is Maya. Then they don't want to have any soft corner or feeling or emotion to an object or a person or anything. They want to be hard-hearted and they say these are all false and this and that. So by doing that, they lose the opportunity of engaging in Krishna service. They lose the whole point of materialization. When one is in jail, one may get angry about the jail. That is so bad at these places. But if you are not understanding why I was in the jail and trying to reform oneself, then the whole point of jail is wasted. If a person only cursing about the jail, this place is so bad, this place is worse, one cannot say, yes, I understand that, this is not the place. But do you understand why you have come into this jail? If you are not understanding that, then you are just only neti, you are only rejecting, only hard effort, only not developing any attachment to Krishna. And also, there is another kind of proud is, they think that by doing this kind of sentimental activities, you are in lower grade. Recently I had a conversation with one other person. And we can sense, the moment they open the mouth again, we can sense this is my world. He said, I follow this mark. And you follow this mark. I said, okay, what is your mark? I asked. He said, you are serving, your mark is that you serve Krishna, you serve God. You are a servant. But mine is, I am God. Like you asked me. Because they think, I am equal, you are servant. You come in that path where you serve Krishna and your relationship is everything. But me, I am equal. Suffering only. Suffer here after this hell. So, what we cannot, we don't know, Prabhupada always said, if someone is posing a philosophy, ask them what is a philosophy. We can smash easily, but then we follow the footstep of Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu was questioned by the great stalwarts of Mayavadi, Sankar, Prakashananda Saraswati, what did Mahaprabhu do? Mahaprabhu didn't immediately, argue back and give quotation. He is the great Nimai Pandit. Who can defeat? He is a deep vijay. No one has defeated Mahaprabhu. He knows all the Vedanta, all the. He was with Sarva Bhattacharya. He is thinking, Sarva Bhattacharya, you are young sannyasi, you are beautiful. How can you remain sannyasi? I will teach you Vedanta. I will give you all the Vedanta sutras and everything. Come and teach. Mahaprabhu was, so humble, he was there. 7 days and night, 7 days he was telling about the Vedanta Sutra, about all this. And Sarvabhauta said, I understand. Something happened here. It is not going right. He asked, hey, Koshyari, hey, Sanyas, you are listening to this Pravachan, I'm telling you Vedanta Sutra. I don't understand, whether you understand or not. You are not telling anything. Then Mahaprabhu said, see, I understood Vedanta Sutra, but I cannot understand the way you explain it. I understood, I know everything, but the way you explain it is fully crap. That's why I cannot understand it. Then, Sarvabhattacharya was taken aback. What do you mean by that? You may have access to the scriptures, you may have access to Bhagavad Gita. You may have access to Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the ultimate solution of all the problems in life. scripture, Shabda Brahma, is a proof, is giving the solution to all the humanity. He said, this Bhagavad Gita is the manual for one to get out of this suffering, get out of this ignorance. But more importantly is how we are understanding, or how we are taking that scripture, or how one is presented, or one is getting the scripture is more important, not just you taking the book. So here you can see Mahaprabhu is so humble there. He is telling, no, you are talking through Maya. Same Prakashananda Saraswati talking, you know, you this reason. Why you are, you know, sitting there, you are chanting and dancing, full sentiment, you should be reading Vedanta Sutra, you should be a hardcore Maya. So Mahaprabhu said, you know, my spiritual master has told me to find Hare Krishna. Because I am not that very wicked. He says himself as a fool. So here Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the whole starting Abhinanda, Kaviraj Goswami is writing all the Mangalacharan and explanation of the Mangalacharan, full detail in this. Just to make us understand that we accept Mahaprabhu not by sentimental, but understanding the tattva and philosophy that he is none other than the Krishna. Because our process, our display of Krishna consciousness looks very sentimental. Oh, you guys are chanting, looks fanatic, wearing weird robes, running up and down in the block, chanting and dancing and shouting. A full sentimental world, paraphrase, like that. The thing is, even if you watch the documentary of Yuvaraja, a few scholars who studied in the religious comparative study, theosophical group and everything, they said, what Prabhupada is speaking is so great and is so bold and make much sense. But then what the disciples and the people who are displaying in the street and other avenue doesn't relate or correlate or match with that. How can you put these two together? They think, oh, this, you know, these people are totally fanatical. They're not fanatical. They're following the Buddha Dharma, which is given by Mahaprabhu, who himself chanted and danced. But he is here, Shunananda, oh, he's just dancing, I like dancing, I like so dancing. He is presenting the tattva behind of why he is doing what he is doing and clearly presenting the siddhanta of who is Mahaprabhu. And by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, we will be saved. Sri Krishna Goswami says that this philosophy in the spirituality is like the ocean. The ocean, there is a Siddhanta Sagara, like the ocean of philosophy. And this ocean has a lot of crocodiles. These crocodiles are compared to other philosophies, other conclusions, which is given in Vedic and also non-Vedic. Patanjali, Yoga Sutras, Patanjali, Yoga Sutras, then Kapila, atheistic Kapila, then Kannada, then Karmamansa, Jaini, then Dattatreya, then you know atheistic Buddhism, so many other. One is not easy that one comes in the right connection, right source, of essence. But by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, even a child, not a normal child, it is a foolish child. A child, if you see, a child is in Annamaya Kosha. Bhagavad Gita, Tari Chakra, talks about Pitreya Upanishad, talks about the Kosha. A child is in Annamaya. What the child thinks, meditate, do, activity is only food. Nothing else. A child won't only consider of food. Whatever he sees, put it in the mouth. Whatever it takes, he put it in the mouth. This is Annamaya consciousness. And imagine a foolish child. A foolish child, even a foolish child can cross the ocean of this Siddhanta Sagara by the mercy of Mahaprabhu. That is the quality of Mahaprabhu, but even he is considering himself as a fool in front of the great Mayavadis. And eventually they get attracted by the effulgence of Mahaprabhu. So it is said that the Supreme Lord appeared on incarnate manifestation. You can see different avatars. They come with a weapon or they come with a mission. The Mahaprabhu doesn't appear with any weapon. But he said he has a weapon. What is his weapon? His weapon is bodily beauty. His bodily beauty is his weapon. And that will attract all the conditioned souls, even the theistic and the atheistic and other people also. And Mahaprabhu showed this in the Pasama Prakasa and the Saraswati. By effulgence, which is the more attractive for the Mayavada, they got attracted by the effulgence of Mahaprabhu. And he could be able to attract the Mayavadis and other philosophers as well. There is the potency of let's stop here and see if anyone has any comments or questions or correction. And for you, but not properly. Yes?
Thank you for the nice class, that you were talking about the suffering in the material world.
Yeah.
But if I don't have, if I have no problems right now, then how do I develop detachment from the material world?
So, first of all, your recitation of the verses are very nice. Your Sanskrit recitation, very good. This is the usual argument. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, this is Dukalayam Shashvatam. That this is a place of suffering and it is temporary. If one says that I am not suffering, which is an illusion, but if he says that I am not suffering, I am happy, but one should understand that it is temporary. Whatever you are having, it will not stay for long. Soon there will be a problem. When we say, he asks someone, how are you? They say, no problem. That means, negation of problem they consider it as happiness. But they don't have access to the true happiness. One may have problem, one may not have problem. One is thinking, if I don't have problem, that is happy. But that is also illusion. Both happiness and non-happiness in the material world is only unhappiness. So we should aim for the Brahma-bhuta, prasanna-atma, that stage. That one should develop prema for Krishna and one should develop some attraction towards Krishna and then one should be really happy with it. Then one can be really in a happy state. So you are practicing in the small age. Are you chanting Hare Krishna? You are eating prasadam. You are worshipping Krishna. You are offering to Krishna. That's all. Keep doing more. One day Krishna will take you. That's it. Anyone? Any comments? Yes, Prabhu.
No, actually,
what is my, when I read this pastime, Prabhupada purpose, and you get some question arising in your heart. And then you think about it, and you really want to know. And then Eureka happens, which is also the blessing of the Lord. So, when you're meditating on something which is substantial, example of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Lord actually reveals to you. This is my understanding. And that actually, and then you become more grateful to the Lord because of helping you to understand. Krishna says the memory, intelligence, everything comes from Him. It's not just one can understand the pastime of the Lord. The Lord has to reveal. The Lord has to, you know, give it. So that way one can be able to appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam and also be careful in dealings. The activities, as you said, the Lords and the devotee, you can see that in Chaitanya Charitamrita in terms of behavior and the dealings of Vaishnavas and the Supreme Lord, which is the next level. So, when we read such pastimes, then we get inspired within and we can have something to meditate. So, that's a good thing. I am not, not in that experience this kind of. Hope that answers. But this Mayavati, like as I said, it is an experience. This I experienced it last week. But, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Prabhu.